Hey there, I just want to let folks know that if you decide, it is a long video and it's a lot of talking, so if you do decide to just listen to the audio while you're on YouTube, if you hear this sound, that means that a picture has come up on the screen, a screen that is a photograph that was shared by Brendan, and so it's just a little indicator that maybe you should look up or switch over to your tab, to your YouTube tab, and check out the picture that is shared up on the screen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to iCommand. This is TV Boy, and we've got a podcast episode for you all. I know we don't do these very often, but special occasion demanded an episode, I feel like, because we have a very special guest on today. Welcome to Brendan Bourne. Brendan, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Noah? Hey, how's everybody doing?
Brendan, you went to Adepticon this year, which happened on the 20th to the 24th?
You got it.
Of March. Yeah, so I wanted to have you come on and kind of give your experience because we, once again, had an Imperial Assault tournament there as we have for the last couple of years, actually. I think we started doing that in 2022 without any support from Fantasy Flight Games, the publisher of Imperial Assault. So it'll be fun to hear your experiences there, both with Imperial Assault, and I know you really into all the other stuff they do in Adepticon, so we'll get to hear about that too after we talk about Imperial Assault. Before we get into that, I just want to mention that if you want to support the podcast, listener, dear listener, definitely check us out on YouTube. We'll have this. This episode will be on both YouTube and on iTunes. On YouTube, we'll have some pictures that Brendan took from the event, both Imperial Assault pictures and the other stuff he did. It's going to be really fantastic, so definitely go check it out. Definitely want to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're not already. And if you want to support the channel and the show financially, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/iCommand. Everything you contribute really helps me out, really helps me to keep producing the content that we make for Imperial Assault so you guys can all enjoy more of that. All right, so now we've got that out of the way. Brendan, I think a lot of people will probably know who you are. You've been on my show before. You've been on Built on Hope as their guest. But please introduce yourself. When did you start playing in Imperial Assault? And what should people know about you?
Sure. Hi, I'm Brendan. This is my third year coming to IACP at Adepticon. Started when the game came out. We played lots of campaign. And just got into competitive skirmish 2 years ago, particularly for IACP. My wife, Stephanie, also attends with me. Really exciting this year. My daughter, Rosie, actually also came and did IACP. And my son attended Adepticon for the first time this year as well, cosplaying. So it was a family affair for us. We love Imperial Assault IACP, especially bringing the characters that you design to the tabletop. So just IACP in particular. This year, I brought a straight IACP list. There's no throwback characters in it, fully painted, and that's what we do. We do the hobby part, and we do displays. And we practice enough so that we can play our list competently in tournaments.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you guys primarily practice on the tabletop, right?
Correct. I've tried Vassal a couple times. Thanks, Josh Songer, for giving it a shot with me and theory crafting a little bit. But I don't do the online tournaments. I sometimes will root for Gabe and Joey on your channel when I'm watching battle reports. Definitely check those out if you haven't. We practice at home. The three of us in particular this year, Stephanie and I got 15 practice games against each other, and Rosie got about 4 or 5 practice games in. She's got school and everything. She's super smart, but we practice as much as we could for this.
That's awesome. All right, so we kind of talked about your Adepticon preparation there. How was the traveling to Adepticon? How did that go?
It was great. There was snow one day, just out of the blue. So we had like a week. I'm from Northeast Indiana, and we had great weather. And then we go up to Chicago, and it's cold and snowy. But all in all, it was pretty good. We stayed at the Hyatt, So Adepticon has two different hotels. The Schomburg Renaissance is the big one where a lot of events take place, big ballrooms, and then there's the Hyatt where they have some smaller events. Historicals and Armada got kicked over there this year. Some other games just kind of took over too much space. But we stayed at the Hyatt, so we got to see some action in the hotel we were staying in, and then it's a 5-minute drive over to the Renaissance.
Nice. So yeah, it's in Schaumburg. I remember doing that. The last time I was, and the only time I went to Adepticon was in 2019, the last official Imperial Assault Worlds they had. And it's always interesting if you go through Chicago, they then have to go out, drive out 45 minutes outside of Chicago to get to the location. But you guys were there the full, what is it, 5 days?
Yeah, we went from Wednesday to Sunday, and just like last year, we packed in as many events as we could do. So, yeah, we did 14 hours of Marvel Crisis Protocol again on Friday, right before we did IACP on Saturday. On Friday, there was advertised a throwback tournament for Imperial Assault, and Joey came for that. And from what I heard, they played campaign. So this was Gabe, I believe his friend Laverne that he coaches in IA. I believe the three of them played almost a full campaign on Friday.
Whoa,
So
that's crazy.
they made the best they could out of, what they had.
Yep. Not a whole lot of interest or demand, because I know that you were sounding the horn pretty loud leading up to
Yep.
Adepticon on all the social media and various forums for Imperial Assault, so I can't imagine people didn't know it was happening.
Yeah, there was the UK Games Expo, and they lean into the throwback stuff, and they had a good turnout for that. And it looks like it's the opposite over here, where we have more interest in IACP.
Yep. Although it sounds like they're having a hard time getting people to sign up for their Curtain Games event coming up, KIRTON. I believe it's coming up in June over in the UK. So if you are a UK player and you do want to play some Imperial Assault old school skirmish, make sure to check that out and spread the word, because it sounds like they are on the verge of canceling it for attendance.
Thanks.
All right. So yeah, no throwback skirmish for Friday, but then Saturday came around and you guys did have players for the ICP event.
Yep, we got seven players for IACP. That was myself, Stephanie, Rosie, Gabe Destructor, Joey, Laverne, and Tim. You want me to go through their list, kind of give an idea of who brought what?
Sure, we can talk about each
Okay.
person's list.
Cool. So we'll just start with mine. I was doing a full Rogue One IACP list. So we've got Cassian, K2, Jyn, FaZe, Chirrut, Bodhi Rook, Saw Gerrera, and Pathfinders. I modeled Weetief and Two Tubes were my Pathfinders. And I would just say if I had to go with the theme, and I had to go full Rogue One on this. But if you are trying to play the Rogue One competitively and use my list as like a guide, I would probably just switch out the Pathfinders for R2, C3PO, and extra armor for those 6 points, probably. But I had to play full Rogue One this year, so I did.
Nice. I think we have a player playing a similar Rogue One list in our March Vassal tournament that I believe went 2-1, so.
Awesome. Yeah, I have to root for the Rogue One stuff, especially when you guys came out with Chirrut and FaZe. I got super excited, so I knew that I was going to play this list when you guys announced these about a year ago, and then to have Bodhi join the team right at the last second was pretty cool. Yeah, it has a lot of after deployment shenanigans. And it's got three. It's got Bodhi's smooth landing. It's got infiltrate with the Pathfinders, and follow that up with Cassian's strike team. It's pretty cool. it's pretty cool taking over the map basically. And my play style is very objective focused. So the fact that I can just kind of take the board and make you kill me is kind of my play on that. And moving on to Steph's list, she was playing Jabba's pets. So this is creatures. So Jabba, Bib, two Nexus, Elite Loathcats, regular Loathcats, the Rancor, and then like Black Market, stuff like that. This was brutal, okay? We played 15 practice games and I lost 14 of them to that Rancor. Wow. It was either I could take down the Rancor and the Nexus got me, or the other way around. So, yeah, I don't know if you regularly play against a Rancor, but she can get off like 4 attacks per turn with that thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
like pummel and eat a cat and parting blow. When we took the Rancor out of the box and set it on the table, you should have seen the guy's faces. So that's Steph's list. Rosie's, she's playing Imperial Inquisition. She didn't build her whole list out necessarily, but there were certain themes that she liked, and I kind of helped her. The first thing she told me was she wanted to force lightning something to death. So we started with the Emperor. I showed her pictures of other Imperial archetypes, and she really liked the picture of Mara Jade with her amethyst saber. And we wanted to surprise people as well with the second sister. So check her out. Had fun painting her up. To round out with some more hunters, it's a Purge Commander. I modeled him with a gun. We have the Grand Inquisitor. We got BT. And I modeled her Imperial Officer to be a female Imperial Officer, because why not for her team?
Awesome. And yeah, if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you go to YouTube and check out their awesome paint jobs that will be up on the video, because all of their figures are fully painted and look amazing.
Thank you so much. That's definitely half the fun for me, is bringing a fully painted squad to the show. Rosie had something to say about her list. I did talk to her a little bit, and afterwards she said that she really likes the cards Tools for the Job and Assassinate. Makes sense. So for Force Drain, okay, she did take Force Drain for Second Sister. She liked that she had that in case she needed to mess up a queen piece, but she wouldn't have taken it without Mara Jade. So the fact that she had two models that could play it, it made that card a lot more playable for her. So just a little feedback on IACP stuff there. And oh yeah, the Purge Commander was definitely like the weakest part of her list. We talked about switching at the last second to like another officer and something, maybe a Purge Trooper officer and drop Rule by Fear or something like that, but she had practiced the Purge Commander, so that's what she played in the tournament. She didn't want to pivot last second.
Did she get all rerolls out of him?
I'm not sure, because I didn't see all of her games, but I know that she practiced setting him up so he could see the line of fire. So I'm guessing she got a few rerolls, but I couldn't tell you. If you've placed him well, he can shoot and then also throw his grenade, right? Because mm-hmm. The grenade's not intact, so... Yep. I mean, in the right situation, he can be a star, but situational.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And next we've got Gabe, and he was playing Jabba, Bib, HKs, also HK-47, Hired Guns, Cad Bane, and Dr. Aphra. So very, like, droid hunters, with Jabba and Bib. Really brutal, really good powerhouse of a team, and I'll get to that when we talk about our games. We've got Joey, and I'm calling his list Imperial Captains. It's not exactly that, but he's got Jet Troopers, Captain Fabulous, the captain that's brightly painted. Had to learn the name on that. Really cool. He's got Kane Somos, so he's got the firing squad. Is it a Dewback, or was it actually Captain Taro?
I believe he runs Captain Taro.
Captain Taro, okay. And then Jabba was in there. Then we have Laverne, and he's got Imperial like scouts and ISBs, kind of Imperial spies in a way, with Iden and Director Krennic. And then we had Tim, who was running Throwback Rebels with Chewie, Original Jin, and I think that's Han. It's not a regular smuggler. I think that smuggler is supposed to represent Han. Huh. So.
And so my understanding is Tim was the seventh player, and he dropped after round one, right?
Correct. Yep. Yeah, he just came to dip his toes in. You know, he's at Adepticon. I'm sure he had a lot of other games to go check out, but he brought some Imperial Assault from home and decided to play around with us. You know, it was one game and then he dropped, but I mean, you could tell he had fun and he just kind of wanted to check it out.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad he had fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But what do you think of the variety in those lists? Like, none of them are the same at all.
It's funny because it feels like kind of a run back of last Adepticon. I think Joey ran the same, might have run the same list. I know somebody was running double HKs back then.
Okay, the HKs have appeared a few times. That's true.
So, and then it's cool to see here the ISBs and the infiltrate, or the ISBs and the scout troopers. We're mm-hmm. seeing some play. They're actually getting some love over in the league. Online league play from mm-hmm. a lot of some of our more competitive players due to the map rotation. And then creatures, fantastic. Force hunters, great. Yeah, I think everybody kind of had something different among the six players that were there, right?
Yeah. I mean, seven technically, but yeah.
Yeah, seven.
Yeah. And, about Laverne's scouts, he did have Vader's Finest on there. And against me, he did get a couple focuses. And he did use the Vader's Finest ability at one point to take his steps to contest an objective. So feedback on that is it was pretty good, but it definitely didn't feel broken from across the table.
Nice.
Yeah.
How about Lure of the Dark Side? I remember that was almost a contentious card when it was being tested. Stephanie, say anything about it?
Rosie did not play Lure of the Dark Side.
Oh, Rosie, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't play it.
She did not play Lure of the Dark Side. I told her that she should pretend like she had it in her deck.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of play that mind game. But she didn't actually run that one. She really leaned into the Hunter cards, extra damage stuff.
Nice. All right. We should probably talk about the map rotation, since we did have a map mm-hmm. rotation like 2 weeks before the tournament, which I actually like that. I don't know how other players feel, but I always found that having a map rotation right before a big event kind of throws people for a loop. It kind of shakes things up and shakes up kind of established strategies and things yeah. that are good.
Yeah, we knew that, oh gosh, what's the one that rotated out with all the colored ones through the middle that flashed? I forget what it was. The one that just rotated out where you can grab the weapons caches and the lights are flickering on all the objectives and you got to hit the right one. Oh my gosh. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
The weapons.
Is it Tarkin's Laboratory or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we knew that one was rotating out right before Adepticon. So we did not practice it. We only practiced Wazka and Coruscant for the most part. And, but I brought three of the seven players, and I'm on top of it, like making sure I get all the notifications as quick as possible so we can pivot. So like I could adjust my Rogue One list at the last second, and we made maps, at, you know, the correct maps for Adepticon, including the ISB training grounds, which is amazing, by the way. I love the taps, grabbing the taps and having something to do. I mean, if you're playing technicians right now, that's amazing. And with Rogue One and the theme of that, like having to transmit plans, it just it's very thematic and a very fun map, I think, to play on.
Nice. Yeah, so you guys found out, and then you guys, I mean, it sounds like you only have one set between for your family, which makes sense, obviously, so you don't have duplicate tiles. So you guys actually make your own maps on, do you just use, like, poster board, or what do you use for that?
Oh, yes. In years past, we did go and get them printed out and stuck them to boards, but we saved ourselves at least $50 this year, and I got out my T-square and my yardstick, and I very carefully made the grids, and we did a family project of making these boards. Yes, I know they're not very pretty, but they're very accurate and very detailed with exactly where the tile stops and even interior and exterior. So we are very familiar with every single square on that map because we made them.
I will say I think they look a lot better this year than they did when some other I don't know if it was your group that did it last year. Was it you guys?
Sorry, Josh. Josh did them 2 years ago, and they were like bigger squares, which was like an alternate reality kind of Imperial Assault.
And I'm not throwing any shade at how Josh did his.
No.
And he was the first one to really do this ever. But guys did something.
He inspired us.
Yeah.
To push it, basically.
You guys made a very small improvement that I feel like took it to the next level, which is you actually shaded in the terrain areas. So like the difficult terrain squares, you fully shaded in blue instead of just outlining. And same thing for like blocking terrain, etc. And I feel like when I was looking at the maps, like in the previous year when I saw those maps, I'm like, what map is that? I cannot identify that map at all. But with your guys' maps, I can see, oh, I recognize that shape of difficult terrain and that blocking terrain going through the middle. Like that's, you know, that's ISBHQ. Clearly, it's got that table, that blocking terrain around that impassable terrain in the middle. Or Waska, like I recognize the big areas of blue. So
Waska, these are great for Waska because you don't have to pretend that the wall's not there.
Yeah.
We just did it so the walls aren't there. So it actually clarifies that and makes it easier to play, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially if you don't have like rubble tokens or something to put over top of the walls that are not supposed to be there. I can see how that would be really confusing. I don't think I've played Waska on tabletop. I think I've only played that map in Vassal where it's corrected to delete those walls.
Mm-hmm. And not only does it help you see where the wall isn't, but there's a little there's a chunk of wall here and here on the side. And in practice, because I was remembering there was no wall where the water was, I also missed that there was a wall next to it. So it just helps keep that all very clear.
Right. So you guys, you said you really like the new map that's ISB Training Grounds.
Yeah, we did play that in the finals, and we played it for round three. So do you want me to just start getting into the rounds?
Yeah, sure, we can do that. So round one, who did you play against?
So round one, I had the bye. We had seven players, so six players are going to play round one. And usually it doesn't feel good, but it was actually perfect. Absolutely perfect, because I like taking pictures. And I got to check in with Rosie and make sure she was settled in. You know, she's 12 years old, so just kind of taking care of everybody for a minute. And I was having problems getting Wi-Fi. There's so many people, thousands of people trying to connect to the Wi-Fi. So I was taking pictures and then I was making my way outside to transmit them out to you guys as quick as I could and then go back in the hall and lose it. So round one bye for me was great. I got some pictures of everybody playing round one though. So we have Rosie, and she was against Joey. Round one, they played on Wazka. I could not tell you if it's the strain water or the regular water. Sorry, I don't remember that. What I can tell you is, I did talk to Rosie. She said she was super nervous, and she kind of just needed to get her first game out of the way and warmed up. This is her first time playing in a tournament, and this was her first game in a tournament. But Joey is super cool, super chill. He's a master at this game. She really liked Joey's list. She liked the King Somos firing squad stuff. She was like, "Oh, I kind of want to try that." And she liked the smoke that he modeled onto his jet troopers. In her play, she was kind of concerned she was going to slow play, so she just kind of went on automatic pilot and made a few mistakes. But she needed that warm up, and she hadn't practiced that side of Wazka. And she said that pitching the card to rule by fear was a very hard decision to make.
Yes, it is.
So Rosie versus Joey, that game ended 17 to 41 in Joey's favor. I feel like for her first game, 17's not too bad.
Yep. And it's always, especially if you've never played in a tournament or against other people outside your family, like you can play hundreds of games against your family, and then when you actually play against somebody that you've never met before, you're like, what are they thinking about me? Am I going to screw up? Like, there's all this. It's just to a totally different thing. But once you do it and you get over it and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Once it's over,
I
then I feel
mean,
like that's a hump that you get over.
that being said, I feel like IACP at Adepticon is it's really welcoming to new players. Like Tim was able to come and play a game with us. Rosie played a few rounds with us. Like some of these players are on the top tables with your online tournaments and things, but I feel like I like to call it semi-competitive because there's definitely that aspect, but then there's also like you can bring whatever you want and let's roll some dice too. So
Yep. By the way, regarding Joey's list, I had mentioned earlier
yeah.
that I felt like Joey and Gabe and some people had brought the same list as before. I went back and looked at the list from 2023, and it was actually switched. Joey had brought the double HKs last year, and Gabe had actually brought Jabba and Migs, but in a mercenary list rather than a Empire list like Joey. So that's I thought that was kind of funny.
I did face those assassin droids 2 years in a row, but different players with a different list. Like, yeah, there's no two lists that are the same, Imperial captains, Imperial force users, Imperial scouts and spies. It's all very different.
Any other
So let's
highlights
see.
from round one?
So round one, we have Steph versus Gabe. She said she had a problem with closing the gap on Gabe's hunters, and Gabe just did a really good job of not giving her targets for pounce, or not giving her good targets for pounce. And he had enough firepower to take down the Rancor. The really cool moment she had, and I'm excited to tell you about this, is she played Savage Vigor against Gabe's tools for the job focus shot and stripped three dice off of that attack.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, Gabe's like, what? So, yep. Let's see. Gabe took that. It was 21 to 42. So, I feel like if the person that doesn't win, if as long as they get like 20 or more points, I feel like it's a pretty good game. Like, it's not a blowout, anything like that.
Yeah, that's probably because there's probably a lot of damage on other figures that haven't been killed, so The
Exactly.
score doesn't always tell the full story of the board state at the end.
Yep. I didn't play Stephanie in this tournament, but because my list is mixed with melee and shooting, like she had targets against me, against Gabe, who's really good at hiding exactly perfectly. I could see how she would have a problem, even with Beast Tamer. She's still having a problem getting into where she wants to get into, so, without getting shot up. So, to round out round one, we've got Tim versus Laverne, and Laverne took it 40-36. So for Tim to cut, and I know Laverne has been practicing with Gabe Destructor, and I know that he's Laverne's newer to the game, but you can tell that he knew his stuff because he's been practicing with Gabe, and Tim is like right out of the hallway with, throwback stuff. And the fact that it ended 36-40, that's the kind of game I like to play, a nice close game like that.
Yeah, that's really close. Especially since, like you said, Tim was not using any IACP cards, including,
Nope.
I know he had Jin Odon, and he was using the old school Jin Odon, not the new one. So that's great.
Yep,
It sounds
so
like he did
I'm
have a
sure he
really good
just
game.
played what he knew. Yep, super close game. But yeah, then Tim dropped to enjoy the con, and it was super cool. He just popped in to play around with us, and he was fine just saying hi for the day.
That's great. All right, so round two.
Yep.
So you got to play this round. What was the mission?
Yay. All right, so we are gangsters on Coruscant back alleys.
Oh, nice.
What I can tell you about the other games is it was Laverne versus Joey, and Joey took it 40-9. So he definitely knew what he was doing with those gangsters. And then we had Stephanie versus Rosie, and Rosie, after having her practice game round one, she took it 40-31, and those lightsabers can just get through the double black defense on the Rancor, so it's not a problem at all. Rosie practiced this, and she got to put it into play where she bunched up her lightsabers ready to go for turn two, and then just unleashed all the lightsabers and got extra saber attacks off of at the Emperor. Like, she did not miss a trigger. She used tempt to off a gangster at one point that was left at one from across the map, and she really knew what she was doing with that
Awesome.
one. So, yeah, she practiced all those triggers, Zillow technique to keep people alive, and yeah, I'm super happy for her. This is her first tournament win, so there you go. And then for my game against Gabe, I knew that those HKs were going to be my first target priority. Like, people are playing these against me. I know they only have 7 health, so I need to hit them before they hit me. That's the whole thing. So, again, we're doing gangsters, and I left one of his HKs with 1 health left. Ah, so frustrating. And then I positioned so that I could finish that one off with either ranged cleave from Baze or blast from Baze or a cleave from Chirrut. And Gabe moves perfectly, so I cannot get onto that HK. So, like, he barely moves his guys to where I just can't barely blast him, or I can't barely cleave into him. And I left that HK alive, and it mattered. So, again, Gabe, he's so good at this game, and he positioned just perfectly. In this matchup with Rogue One versus these assassin droids, the dice math is not with me. Like, my 2 and 3 dice attacks versus his 3, 4, sometimes 5 dice attacks definitely favors him. But I also go for the objective play, and I do have more attacks than him. So I'm hoping to leverage those smaller attacks. Didn't quite work out, so That one, he took it 47-24 against me.
Were you able to get any good use out of the Pathfinder's like distracting ability?
I got a distracting off I think twice in the tournament. I think I made the hired guns go at some point, and I think I made HK-47 go. He was probably going to go with HK-47 anyways. But I mean, I think I take them more for the infiltrate than the distracting, but that can be annoying. It's just, it doesn't happen every game that I play with them.
Right. Okay, so after round two, you're 1-1. So round three, you already mentioned, was the ISB training grounds, right?
So this is ISB Training Grounds. This is where you can use the taps to flip the objectives either from 2 to 5 points or from 5 points down to two.
Okay, counter slice.
There you go, counter slice. The girls had a great time, but at this point, Stephanie was hungry and was ready to grab some food, so she dropped. She was 0-2. She went to get food. Rosie would have gotten the bye. And so she just dropped to eat and hang out and have a good time. So the girls were super glad they played, had a great time, and then enjoyed hanging out watching the rest of the rounds.
Nice.
Let's see, with round three, I know it was Joey versus Gabe. So Jabba versus Jabba, the captains versus the droid hunters. And Joey took that 44-31. They did talk about their game that they played on Vassal recently, their league match. If you are watching this and listening to this and haven't checked out that game, you really should. It came down to a tiebreaker. So that's, if you're gonna watch anything next, you definitely should go check out that game because it is. I love a close game, and obviously, tiebreaker is really cool.
Yep, that one's on YouTube. That's Joey versus Destructor.
For my game, I play Laverne, and the best way I can describe this is Rogue One did Rogue One things. So I have I just start locking down the board. That scout trooper ability where you have to get up close to them is amazing for gunfights, but I was able to get a Cassian sniper shot down the middle hallway at ISBs and almost get one. I think it was on the first turn. And then I proceeded to take Jin over there with her Tonfa, and she was beating up scout troopers with her Tonfa. And I had most of my list taking over the room, which has two objectives that are adjacent, which is really important. So I took over the room, and I was making good shots down the hall and just able to get into his lines. He's a really good player. Iden Versio definitely did a lot of work for him. I get a theme kill, so there's a picture of this. His black suit officer represents Director Krennic, and K2SO goes up there and gets a one-shot kill on Director Krennic.
Nice.
That's what you get.
Oh,
I also had a mind game with Laverne. Okay, I'm sorry, buddy, I tricked you. I'm playing spies, and both Gabe and Laverne have smuggling compartments. And so I play strat shifts on his two-card hand to bait out his smuggling compartment so I can follow it up with an intel leak.
nice.
All of that in action and two cards just to get rid of one of his cards. So, of course, the year I bring spies, you guys have smuggling compartments. But it was all right. But yeah, so let's see. My game with Laverne, I took that one. I don't remember what we ended up at. Oh, is 43-21.
Nice, sounds like you did very well.
Yeah, it was all right.
And it sounds like you guys both had lists that were really good on that particular map based on what we've seen so far. Since you had Bodhi in your list, right?
Yeah, I have all the Rogue One. I've got Bodhi, Pathfinders, Saw, and the rest. Yep.
So Bodhi plus Cassian makes for a really good sniper that can make those long range shots in the early rounds against opponents that Lee figures out. But then, of course, the scout troopers are unattackable from long range, so they're really good on HQ or training grounds as well, as we've been seeing. So that sounds like it would be an interesting match to watch.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun making Rogue One do what it should do. I usually get stuck on a queen piece, so I kind of just ignored Iden, and it worked out well. I really like the addition of Bodhi Rook. I really love that you guys came out with a two-point figure that does what he does. He helps with the deployment stuff. He was giving my whole team extra accuracy the whole tournament with his air support. And on top of that, he's a two-point figure to sacrifice to Cassian to get an extra shot, which is better than sacrificing a Pathfinder for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do technician things as well. So in my games, he was running around with the taps and doing, you know, he was being Bodhi Rook, essentially.
Yeah, he's, I think he works, he's at his best with the Rogue One figures. Cassian. K2SO also uses power tokens. Jyn Erso uses power tokens. And they all enjoy, Baze, of course, uses power tokens, and they all do enjoy that plus two accuracy. I think it helps them a lot.
Oh, yeah. Plus two accuracy for most shots you're taking is awesome. All right. Should we get into the finals?
Yeah, so how did that go?
Well, Joey goes undefeated in Swiss. He's the only one. So Joey's at 3-0. Gabe and I are at 2-1 after Swiss, and Joey does the coolest thing I could imagine. And Joey says, I'm going to drop from this tournament and I'm going to make a battle report of the two of you guys playing. I'm going to judge the finals to make sure that all the triggers and all the IACP stuff happens. And I'm going to make a battle report. So thank you, Joey. I got to play the finals and I cannot wait for this video whenever it comes out.
Yeah, and big shout out and thank you to Joey for being our boots on the ground at Adepticon. Unfortunately, none of the steering committee is able to get out there. We've all got stuff that keeps us from traveling. And so the fact that Joey's willing to go to Adepticon, he's not from around there. He's probably took either a plane ride or many hours to drive there. So we really 100%. Appreciate Joey doing that.
Yeah, it's kind of the 1-2 punch where he's got the rules knowledge and is the TO, and I like trying to capture it all and kind of bring you some media if I can. If I had like a camera set up to stream a game, I probably would have. So it's something I'm considering in the future. We'll see. But this battle report should serve as some cool content. I'm really excited. I mean, I was in it, got to play in the finals, and I got to play full Rogue One in the finals. So, yeah, super honored. For the final round, I don't want to spoil it so that you can go check out the battle report. But I'll tell you a few things. We were playing ISB Training Grounds. I get to play Gabe again, and I love playing Gabe, so I'm fine playing him twice at Adepticon. You know, I get to see my friends or my IA friends once a year, so it's great. This mission is install the taps, and so I'm playing pure Rogue One, and the narrative I have going is that I need to transmit the plans to the Death Star. So my whole goal is I'm going to install the taps as quick as possible, and my path of play is going towards his terminal and the hallway right in front of his deployment zone. That is my goal. And with my list, I want to take Chirrut. I did this in practice a little bit. I would open my opponent's door with Chirrut and then get annoying with his I'm one with the force is with me, extra movement to contest their terminal, and then do his version of deflect onto the weaker support figures. That is my goal. The best laid plans went awry, and we have to pivot. And we end up dancing around this table. when you watch it, that's kind of my mindset and my path of play and why I did what I did. I love to surprise Gabe. And there was like 4 or 5 times he was like, I didn't think you were going to do that when I did it. Another thing near the end of the game is I get stuck on the new hired guns. Thank you to whoever designed the hired guns with their parting shot. It's like a streamlined, easy to use Greedo. So thank you so much. And not only that, but it was an interesting, like, I want to kill the hired gun when I want it to die, because he's focused and he's going to shoot me when he dies. So I want him to die on my terms. And I was afraid of that shot. So I overthink it and I get stuck on, should I finish this off or not? And I probably made some silly mistakes around that time and leaving him alive too long, honestly.
So leaving the hired guns alive too long.
Yep. There's a hired gun that has a couple hits left, and I'm like, should I finish it off with this or that? I cleave into him to leave him at 1 to be finished off when I want him to die, and then I left him alone. So silly mistake on my part, but it was an exciting game. There's a bunch of dice rolls that come down to leaving the character at 1 or exactly finishing him off, and Gabe has to think. I like making Gabe think as well, because there's a few times where he has to really spend his resources exactly on, including Bib Fortuna's ability to exactly finish off. So there's definitely some wins in there for me. But yeah, I had an absolute blast playing the finals and playing this whole tournament with you guys.
Well, it sounds like you had a really good run. And,
yeah, first time in the finals. That's good for me. Thanks, Joey.
And Gabe, I know you got some defective dice there from me. I have the replacements, and I'm going to be sending them to you. Actually, right after this after I record this, I'm going to take those over to the post office and get those in the mail. Haven't had time last week, so we'll get you those dice.
I will say about Gabe winning Adepticon, we are very, very disappointed that there was not a medal for winning IACP Adepticon. There was the last 2 years, and Gabe took 2nd both times, and he finally wins Adepticon, and there isn't a medal for it. I know that's not your fault at all, Noah, but we were really disappointed in that, and... as far as prizes go, we need to talk about that. But the first thing, I have a plaque. It's a store champion 2017 plaque that I'm going to be mailing to Gabe, because we wanted to do something for him since he finally wanted Epicom.
Nice. That's great. That's also kind of disappointing. I thought I had clicked the option, because Adepticon lets you set the entry fee based on what kind of surprise support. So I thought I had checked surprise support from Adepticon, and that was why you guys were paying money, because I don't get any of that money that you pay to Adepticon to play in the tournament.
Right, yeah.
So that is kind of disappointing.
It's weird. I'm like, so next year should we just meet up somewhere and, like, I'll just have my badge and we can play on open play tables? Like, I'm not saying we should do that, but... It felt like we didn't get enough love. Like, our play area is not very well defined. Like, a little sign saying Imperial Assault would be nice, and the fact that they did absolutely no prizes. There definitely was prizes. So I think you did some Onar cards and some dice and Saska cards, right?
Yeah. Yep. I sent prize support from my own collection and my own pocket.
Thank you. Thank you so much. For that, and I could appreciate it. And I had an old tournament kit that my local store just gave me, because they don't do Imperial Assault anymore, and the same thing happened with Gabe. He brought a tournament kit, so we were just all like passing out stuff and trading things, and we'll have enough prize, we'll be bringing prizes for the next few years, hopefully. And I know Gabe is going to college next year, so he might be less available. But who knows? I'm hoping stuff like this generates more and more interest, and we'll keep growing it. So.
Yeah, and if you are listening and you're interested in organizing Imperial Assault in like your local store or local venue, library, whatever, school, you can actually go to iacontinuityproject.com. And if you go to the official documents page, I'm going to be putting up a flyer that you can print out that will be like an advertisement for a local event. So it'll have Imperial Assault at the top. And it'll have little spaces where you for you to write in your event name, the location, the time, and the contact information of the organizer. And that'll be a great way to like put up something nice on the wall of your store or your school or something, if you want to start organizing your own events in your local area.
Definitely would love to see more and more people come out to Adepticon as well. For next year, Stephanie and I have a secret custom project we're working on. I'm not going to spoil it this year. I spoiled Baze and Chirrut last year for Rogue One. I'm not going to spoil anything. It's going to be super cool though for this hobby project for next year. And I know you like to ask me what I want to see in Imperial Assault. And I found something. You guys made HK-47, so where's the rest of the Knights of the Old Republic crew?
They're dead. They're all
We
dead.
got Karth O'Nassi, Bastila Shaun. You gotta give me Bastila one of these days,
It's
right?
called the Old Republic for a reason.
Okay, so why did HK make it?
Because he's a robot. It's like Bender in Futurama. It's like where they bury Bender in the dirt in Futurama, and then 1,000 years they dig him up, and he's like, "What took you so long?"
Because he's not a meat bag, he
He's
survives.
exactly. He's not a rotten meat bag. But yeah, I've thought about
Love it.
like making custom versions of cards that are like, you know, in Magic they have like the Godzilla versions of normal Magic cards that they did, where it's like has the original name in small print, but then above it it's like Ghidorah and like monsters. Like I was like, you could do that with Imperial, like the Imperial Assault characters, and just reskin them. That would be cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if you gave me a reason to go get 3D printed Knights of the Old Republic, my pocketbook would take a hit, you know? That's what I like to do is get this stuff 3D printed. Like, my whole list this year was three characters are from Legion, and the rest are all 3D printed. So, yeah, give me a reason to get more 3D printed models, will ya?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was the figure situation like for a lot of people? Because I know you guys 3D print, but how did other people handle representing some of the, because we've got some figures in IACP that are not available as figures in a regular Imperial Assault.
For it was kind of an issue playing with Gabe's list because he's got three HKs and one of them is HK-47 and the other ones are regular, so I got confused and confused. So I wish I just got him like a droid or something, but yeah, there's a lot of counts as if you're not 3D printing. Let's see, Gabe had just a standee picture for Dr. Aphra and Bib, which is cool. I mean, those are, I mean, it's cool. It's artwork on the table. So let's see, Iden Versio was a Death Trooper. That kind of makes sense. That's her outfit. And he didn't have any other Death Troopers. He's got Director Krennic is the black suit officer. Rosie's got her second sister 3D printed. And I can't remember. I think Han Solo was a regular just smuggler.
Yeah, that one's just I don't have it because Han Solo is obviously in Imperial Assault.
Yeah, Because he came as a token in the core set, so it's just using the core set without buying the figure pack for Han.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, because like you said, that would be confusing having like HK or HKs representing two different cards.
Yeah, I wish there was a different droid for HK-47, because there was a couple times I'm like, oh wait. He did have stickers on the bases, which helps, but just having a different color, different model, even a token with a picture is just fine.
Yeah, I'm thinking, because we haven't really codified like in-person play rules for IACP, because it's so much mm-hmm. online, and it happened. We came up in the pandemic, really. So,
it didn't feel like a broken rule. It just felt like this could be clarified better.
Yeah, I wonder if there should be a rule though that you can't use Imperial assault figures to represent like another card. Because like if you have some random, I don't know, Robotech mini or something. I don't know what people use. You know, at least that's like, well, that's not an Imperial Assault figure. What is that?
Right, right.
You know, but when you see an HK Assassin droid, you're like, oh, that's an HK Assassin droid. Or you're like, that's a Death Trooper mini. That's a Death Trooper. You know, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Your brain doesn't turn on and like question what it is. And that could lead to mistakes. And the other thing is we have the tokens on the printout sheets. So the PDFs that we provide for people to print the cards out, there's the... Every figure that doesn't have an Imperial Assault mini already has a full color token, like what you would get in the core set box for those the figures that didn't come with the core set. And yeah. I think those are like quarter size, so it would literally only cost you 25 cents to get a base for that, because a quarter is 25 cents.
Or cut some out. This year in particular, since I brought three of the seven players, I made a bunch of tokens. I made extra taps to grab. I made one extra set of posters and gangsters and doors. I did not make a third set of posters. I'm glad we did not play posters, because I wouldn't have had them. But we didn't even play it, so it wasn't. It's not a big deal. I don't mind like printing off stickers and sticking them to little pieces of cardboard. I think it's kind of fun to design it.
Yeah, that's what I've been using for my Bib Fortuna, although I haven't played a tabletop game in like almost a year now. So
I know. I would love to play you in at a table sometime. Roll some dice with you for sure.
Yeah, well, maybe next year, but I don't know, man.
I hope so. There's a few people messaging in the Adepticon planning thread saying, oh, you know, maybe I should try to come next year. Absolutely. Like, when can you play Yoda on the tabletop in Imperial Assault? Anywhere else? Like, you can't. So.
So I think at this point, ICP at Adepticon is pretty much an institution. This will be our third year running, and I don't think there's any reason to stop as long as we've got somebody who's willing to show up and be the person on site. I think we'll keep running it. So if you are thinking about wanting to go to Adepticon in the future, know that Imperial Assault will be there, and you should plan on attending. I'm thinking maybe next year we'll do it on a Sunday. Just because I feel like Friday and Saturday we're competing with the big games, the Legions and the X-Wings.
And I don't know really. We play Star Wars Legion teams on Sunday, but I also think they're going to change that to Saturday. So if that just flip-flopped for us, that would be great. We played so many different games at Adepticon, and we definitely want to make Imperial Assault something that we can do on an annual basis. We love prepping for it, making the teams and painting and the whole experience. So it's one of our main games. Our other ones are Star Wars Legion teams and Marvel Crisis Protocol teams. So we ended up doing the Gonk Droid Racing, which is just a silly con game that they came up with Gonk Droids from Shatterpoint. And you know me, I like to paint the models I bring to the game. They allowed you to bring a painted Gonk Droid if you wanted to. And Stephanie and I both did. She painted a model for the first time herself, which was her Gonk Droid. And we go to check it out and we realize that they needed bases. And we did not have bases. So we went on a scavenger hunt to do bases for our Gonk Droids. I had to buy a box of Shatterpoint stuff. I had to find a guy who had glue so we could stick the Gonk Droids on them, which just happened to be Dallas from AMG. And then a friend of mine suggested the painting air station area where I sat down and actually painted the bases right before we got to play. So we have a fun little story to go with our Gonk Droids. Playing the game was just kind of all right. It was fine as a warm-up to the weekend. You can't really take it seriously at all if you just bounce around like bumper cars with X-wing movement pathways. Stephanie did have a chance to win the Gonk Droid race. It was on a coin flip whether she was going to go out of control through the gate and win or backwards, and she missed the coin flip. And
Yeah,
then,
I heard
go
about
ahead.
that game. The guys over on the Notorious Scoundrels podcast gave a really good breakdown of the rules, and I thought that sounded really fun. Really, the wobble tokens sound hilarious.
Yeah, the more you get hit and the faster you try to go, the more wobble tokens you get, and then you roll to see if you go out of control. At one point, I got a good breakaway, and I thought I was gonna like just get ahead of everybody, and then I went out of control once and could never really recover back into it.
I heard that the photographs of that game were forbidden, but I swear I saw
Yes.
you posted some. And then I couldn't find them after the fact.
You were allowed to take pictures of the board and the miniatures in the race, but not of any components used to, select how your feet were moving or any gear that you collected.
Now, was that Atomic Mass Games hosting that created that, or was it just
Yes.
somebody? Oh, it was
Yeah.
AMG?
It was either Adepticon or AMG. I think it was AMG. They put in the description that you were supposed to get your Gonk Droid out of one of the Shatterpoint boxes. So I don't know where I got my Gonk Droids from, but yeah, it was it was just a silly con game. They had two little tables or medium-sized tables set up in the midst of all the Shatterpoint that was going on. I'm not a Shatterpoint player, but it was pretty cool.
All right, well, I know you'd had a very busy Adepticon besides Imperial Assault.
Yeah.
How about let's hear some of your favorite things. Let's limit it to
Okay.
three, and I won't count the Gonk Racing because you snuck that one in like Aladdin.
All right. So the other ones are going to be Middle Earth and Marvel Crisis Protocol and Legion. For Middle Earth, I don't know if you've played the Middle Earth strategy battle game before, but it's pretty narrative and it's the one game I played over at the Hyatt, so it's kind of chill. There's a lot of different formats that you can play, and I don't play this competitively at all. I just like to have fun with spiders. So I play these Moria goblins and spiders, and the format was a three or four player game, and we played with three players. You draw cards to see what objectives you have to take and different things to do. And I actually won this game. I could not believe it. I've never played so well. Like, it was just a for fun narrative game, and I actually played it well. So my spiders went over and they started eating enemy goblins, and then I worked my way to the middle of the table and I ate a bunch of spirit men. They're the end of Return of the King, if you remember that scene where all the spirits just start wiping out the enemies. And they're usually hard to kill, but my spiders have poison, so I was able to eat them. And yeah, so I won my Middle Earth match. And Friday was a long day. This is Marvel Crisis Protocol. Stephanie and I are a team, and we played 5 rounds. The big part of this is that we brought a display, and I hope you will throw up a picture of our display. It's double decker. We are the top section, which is A-Force in the park. So like She-Hulk and a bunch of the female heroes and Lockjaw in the park. And we teamed up with our favorite opponents from last year, David and Andrew, and they're the bottom section, which is a subway. And the bottom of our board lights up the graffiti that they did on the back of their board.
Very cool.
So it's actually two teams coming together to make this. We both got, or we won best theme for Manhattan Heroes. We did not make the showcase. And our whole hobby goal this year was to make the showcase, which is Saturday night Armies on Parade. It's like the highest level army display competition you can do. And this was one of our two chances at it. But we did win best theme. We played some really good games. In a very quick nutshell, our first round, we lost to Cable from attrition because they blast. We lost our last game to Objective Play. They're very fast Guardians of the Galaxy players. And then the middle three were all pretty close. And we ended up going 2-3 overall. So it was fun. It was
Nice.
great. Love playing that game. But the big thing for us this year was Star Wars Legion. That's probably the game I'm most competitive in. And we were playing Mandalorians, and it was purely for the display. Our display this year, we went full out on theme and customization. I scratch built and I converted a bunch of named Mandalorians that aren't in the game. So you have the Armorer, Bo-Katan, Death Watch, a Din Djarin with a spear. I did so many different effects like jetpack streams and blaster bolts. It's about 200 to 300 hours worth of hobby into that display. It was, like I say, ridiculous because there's a speaker inside that Mandalorian head. And we were playing music. It's actually a soundtrack that Stephanie came up with, and it's got sound effects and quotes from different characters. We were handing out pamphlets that had like coupons for bounty hunting to go with the Mandalorians. So we went full out, and in the middle of playing Imperial Assault, we found out that we're going to be in the showcase. So we were in Armies on Parade on Saturday night in the hallway. We had thousands of people walk by our display, and a lot of them like had to get a closer look, take pictures, and even Rosie was there hanging out supporting us. She was chatting Star Wars to people walking by. It was an incredible experience. And we also got to play teams on Sunday. You play 2 rounds, and Stephanie again, we're a two-person team, so it's a 2-on-2. We played 2 rounds, and for the first time as a couple team, we went undefeated. We did the missions for Legion teams are really wacky. It's like slicing computer terminals. It's actually like fun missions, more like Imperial Assault in a way. And the last mission is you actually physically take objective markers and flick them onto the board. And you try to shoot them towards your units to score them. And we had actually practiced this, and we made some bullseye coin flips onto the table. And like we won a game against the Las Vegas Open champion because we practiced flipping the coins. It's really silly, but really cool. There was a feels bad moment because Adepticon also forgot to make medals for our Legion teams event, and they tried to pretend like they weren't doing awards. So I pushed really hard and made sure that they actually are awarding medals for that event, not only for Stephanie and myself for best theme, but there's a couple of guys dressed up as Imperial officers, amazing guys. We hung out with them a little bit, got to know them. They won best spirit, and I'm making sure that they're getting medals in the mail as well.
That's great.
Yeah. Whew. Re record
Congratulations.
breaking year for us. I don't know how we're going to outdo ourselves next year. Let's see.
Yeah, good luck. Right, well, Brendan, thanks a lot for coming on and sharing your
Of
experience at
course.
Adepticon. I know a lot of people will enjoy hearing about your adventures in Imperial Assault and IACP, as well as your extracurriculars there. It sounds like you
Thank you.
had a better time than a lot of the Legion players at Adepticon, from what I gather. So,
Yeah. It's definitely the right event for us because we have an open mind to all these different games. If you're single focused on one game or one event, you kind of have to have an open mind and make it fun, just like Joey and Gabe and Laverne did, playing not only skirmish but also campaign. They were playing campaign after we were done with the tournament. I think they played campaign all weekend and had a blast. And that's the
that's
kind of
great.
experience that hopefully everyone that comes out for Imperial Assault will have.
Right, so Brandon, if people want to reach you or want to find some of your work, because it sounds like you do amazing hobby work, and I'm sure you've got
Thank you.
some Instas or something that you post on, where can people find you or find your work?
Yeah, the best two places to check me out is Born Miniatures on both Instagram and Facebook. And
Awesome. Well,
that represents Stephanie and myself, probably 80% me, 20% her.
all right. Well, I'll post a link in the video description on YouTube, and I'll try to post it into the podcast episode description as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I don't know when the next episode will be coming up, but I think we'll be talking pretty soon because we've got some interesting stuff happening in competitive play for IACP Season 9. And if you want to play online, we've got our Discord. Make sure you check out the IACP Discord, where a lot of people are playing games, having fun, including campaign games. So if you're a campaign-focused player, definitely join our Discord. We've got lots of people talking about campaign strategies and setting up online campaign games. And then if you want to play competitively online, we've got our tournament series this month, actually this season, and we've got tournaments coming up for April. In fact, the next tournament's going to be starting April 8th, so make sure you get signed up for that. It is free to play. There are prizes for participating, and there is a prize for first place. You get the sweet custom meeple dice. We're going to have tournaments through May and June as well, and we have our ongoing online asynchronous league play going on as well, so you can test your mettle against some of our players on Vassal. And you get your name up on the board. The more games you play, the higher you climb on that leaderboard. So definitely check out us on Discord. And once again, Brandon, thanks so much for coming on and talking to everybody.
Thank you so much. I'll see you next year.
We'll see you then.